Another big day in the jungle. What's going on? Welcome to the program. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome, live in Southern California. What do you want to hit on today? Antonio Brown is doing Antonio Brown things. I will get there in just one moment. It's getting more and more bizarre by the second. In the meantime, if that's what you want to hit on, go ahead. Phone lines are open. If you want another topic, do that too. Whatever it is, just make sure you come strong. I'm going to go old school and tell you, have a take, don't suck. Have a take, don't suck. The smack off. Number 25 is coming much sooner than you think. It's already February. Towards the end of February, that event is a summer event. I'm trying to get you in. I'm trying to get you qualified. You need a golden ticket. You need to be in it to win it. Keep that in mind. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up at 40 past hour number one, the driver of the number 11, Denny Hamlin. NASCAR coming through big again. Denny Hamlin coming up later on this hour. Top of hour number two, Villanova. Head basketball coach Jay Wright. Last segment in hour three, Dan Wojcicki, a national NBA writer for the LA Times. So those are your interviews. Podcast Tuesday is Podcast Wednesday of this week. Ricky Williams is my guest on Ep 70. That's going to be tomorrow. All right, so that's how it sets up. Now, let me start by saying I'm pretty damn sure I sat in the same exact spot, in this same exact chair, in this same exact studio, on this same exact show yesterday. And I told Antonio Brown, put that phone down. Or in the very least, slide it over to airplane mode. Because my man is doing damage with a Wi-Fi signal like nobody I have ever seen. The same guy that went Facebook Live from the locker room after a playoff game 2 years ago is the same guy that went with an AMA on Twitter over the weekend where he proceeded to roast his coach and his quarterback in a span of just six questions. And if AB thought that his act on social somehow was helping his rap, it wasn't. It only made it worse. This is why I said to him, put the phone down. Put the phone down, walk away. But of course, he did not do that. Of course. In fact, he went the other way. Last night, Antonio Brown hops on an elliptical, took his shirt off, pointed his blower at his grill, and went on Instagram Live and said this.
If your squad out there want to win, and your squad want a hungry wide receiver, who the best in the whole world, tell him I hit my phone. Tell him I ain't doing no on guarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more for this NFL, you heard? If your team got guaranteed money, they want to get to know me and work with me, tell them call me.
I knew you heard it, but you couldn't see it. My man sounds like he's on an elliptical in a cave somewhere. First of all, why are you not on a Peloton, AB? Let me just read that quote for you in case you couldn't follow. He said, quote, if your squad wants to win and your squad wants a hungry wide receiver who is the best in the world, someone hit my phone. Tell them I ain't doing no un-guarantees. I ain't even going to play myself no more for this NFL. If your team got guaranteed money and they want to get to know me and work with me, tell them to call me, end quote. All right, since no one wants to tell AB how this whole thing works, I guess I will be the one to do so. My man, you've got a contract. A contract you signed. A contract which legally binds you to the Steelers. You are not a free agent. So you can tell Steeler Nation goodbye all you want. You can tell teams to call you. But you do not have the hammer or the power or the leverage here, no matter how badly you wish you did. And on top of that, what happened to, it's not about the money. You said it yourself over the weekend. Quote, not for the money. It's for the love of the sport. I made $70 million. It's public record. Time to play for my own team, AB84, the family. End of quote. So again, what happened to that? It wasn't about the money 3 days ago, but now it's all about the money. It's not about the money or it's about the guaranteed money. Dude, I can't keep track of you. because you can't keep track of you. And now the whole thing is past tired, now it's lame, and it's annoying, and it's getting more and more bizarre. Like, do we all have to follow you relentlessly on your social media handles to gauge your current moods? I don't even want to put up with that as a talk show host. So who the hell is going to want to put up with that as your employer, current or future? But as mentioned, the whole thing went past tired and lame and annoying to downright comical and bizarre. My man is a couple of hours away from doing crunches in the driveway. I mentioned that he was shirtless, right, on the elliptical when he was asking teams with guaranteed money to call him. This is important because not only was he trying to change squads last night, he was trying to change his name also. Apparently, he no longer wants to go by Antonio Brown or AB. Nope. Towards the end of that near 9-minute rant, my man pointed the camera down at his bare chest and demanded that we now all call him Mr. Big Chest.
Call me Mr. Big Chest. Big Chest for now on. Big Chest Brown for now on. Don't even call me AB. Just call me Big Chest. Yeah, Mr. Big Chest.
Quote, call me Mr. Big Chest. Big Chest from now on. Big Chest Brown from now on. Don't even call me AB. Just call me Big Chest. Yeah, I'm Mr. Big Chest. End quote. That's amazing. Poop Johnson and Lester the Molester Hayes think that that's terrible self-gloss. Mr. Big Chest?
Mr. Big Chest.
This dude's serious? I mean, think about that. Table for Mr. Big Chest.
Mr. Big Chest.
Mr. Big Chest, party of two. Your table's ready. Or grande iced latte for Mr. Big Chest.
Mr. Big Chest.
Or Mr. Big Chest, the doctor will see you now.
Mr. Big Chest.
Let me tell you something. Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to call Antonio Brown Mr. Big Chest.
Mr. Big Chest.
Not now, not ever. Because it's the worst self-gloss ever. And if ever there was a red flag for potential trade partners, it is that. I mean, sure, the demands for guaranteed money are a concern. The fact that he's airing dirty laundry in the open and going on every platform known to mankind is not exactly the kind of thing that most teams are going to like. However, if I'm a general manager in the NFL, the thing that would worry me the most about AB is that he wants to be called BC. I mean, there's the issue of self-glossing, and that's a real thing. But then there's the issue of horrible self-gloss. Mr. Big Chest, the bowling ball in Tampa, thinks that that's working way too hard on nickname.
Call me the bowling ball here in Tampa.
The Axe cannot believe how lame a handle Mr. Big Chest is.
Actually, Romy, I'm known as the Axe.
From one of the greatest receivers ever to one of the worst self-glossers ever. And again, don't get me wrong, I've always loved AB. His appearances on my program are some of my favorite interviews ever. Business is booming. The time he came on Radio Row and spent the entire interview staring at the camera, I loved it. Dude's got crazy it. He's got crazy game. But my man is getting more and more bizarre by the minute. And this whole thing is making it very, very hard to remember that AB, the AB we all loved, the what it is AB, the business is booming AB, the show up to camp in a chopper, show up at Radio Row in a Rolls AB. Now, there is some good news. There's some good news and there's some bad news. Good news, bad news AB, BC.
Mr. Big Chest.
The good news is, I know you want out of Pittsburgh. I know you don't want to play for the Steelers. Good news, you have a new team. Good news, you have yourself a new team. It worked. You have a new team. The bad news, your new teammates include Cloney Carter, Manny Cheeseburger.
Manny Cheeseburger over here.
And the Crystal Methodist.
The Crystal Methodist.
Here's the rest of your team, AB. Meet them.
Cloney Carter in Spokane. Manny Cheeseburger over here. This is the Crystal Methodist.
Good luck running with those guys. Good luck winning with that crew. Wait till you meet the rest of them.
Levi the Trash Man.
It's Iceman.
Coloni Carter in Spokane.
The Axe. Bighorn from Windsor, Ontario.
They call me the bowling ball here in Tampa.
Jay Dizzle.
Manny Cheeseburger over here.
Go by the name of Shot Callers.
Mr. Big Chest over here. Good news, bad news. Good news, you got yourself a new team. Bad news, Coloni Carter is lining up on the other side of you. I mean, I would tell this guy to put his phone down and walk away from social once and for all, but we both know that's not going to happen. In fact, I'd be more surprised if he was not on the gram later today calling himself Mr. Big Traps or Mr. Big Tries or Mr. Big Seps and saying that he's going to retire and move to some planet they named after himself. Man, this saga is getting so weird. AB is acting so bizarre, he's making OBJ look normal. But if his whole goal is to get us to look at him and talk about him, it's working. But if it's to get another employer to scratch him some guaranteed checks, my man is going about it all wrong.
Yeah, Mr. Big Chest.
And Mr. Big Chest did get together with Art Rooney also, and he tweeted that out. So we'll get into what that may or may not mean. 1-800-636-8686. We have moved on to the self-glossing chapter of AB. PC.
Mr. Big Chest.
Denny Hamlin later on this hour. Meantime, some early reaction to Antonio Brown. Dan in Denver tweets, Brown is acting like a bitch. But God, I hope he signs in Denver. Mike D for three tweets, Big Chest, triple negative of ain't doing no unguarantees is better than any triple move that he's had on the field. Incredible. Ain't doing no unguarantees is an amazing sentence. And so is, quote, call me Mr. Big Chest.
Tell him I ain't doing no unguarantees.
I ain't doing no unguarantees. That might be grammatically the most jacked up sentence ever uttered by any human being.
Tell him I ain't doing no.
Ain't doing no unguarantees. That is an incredible sentence. As he's on his elliptical, breathing it out. I think that might be my favorite sentence ever uttered by an athlete. Ain't ding. Ain't doing no. How much damage can you do with three words? Ain't doing no.
Tell him I ain't doing no on guarantees.
That is an amazing four-word sentence. Johnny Scabs tweets, Mr. Big Chest is already taken. Signed, Phil Mickelson.
You know, toughen up.
Mr. Big Chest, moves, whatever. Got an email, it reads, hey, Jim. Damn, AB. And I thought I was pretty happy with myself. Signed, Hawk. Mike in Buffalo, helping him. Hey, Rome, even I think Antonio Brown needs to learn how to use a cell phone and social media. Signed, D'Angelo Russell. John in Huntington Beach, were you reserving the best Javier's table for my wife and I this week for our anniversary? Oh, now you need help, John. Every day you email me, John, like you're like the most important guy ever. But now you need my help to get you a good table at Javier's. Hey, John, why don't you try this? Hey, is Javier in? Tell him it's John in Huntington Beach. Try that, John. See how that goes for you. You try that. I guarantee it. And when you go to Javier's and you say, hey, listen, I know Javier. I'm friends with Javier. They're going to look at you and say, uh-huh. Everybody does. Everybody is. Here's your beeper. Wait 90 minutes. We went to Javier's about a week ago. Long line. Very long line. That's when I saw Dan Heron. My man was holding the beeper. We all do. Get in line, John. All right, still ahead. I mentioned the interviews. Other things I want to talk about. Kyler Murray apparently is not going to throw at the combine. And, of course, there's a bunch of people now responding the way you might think to somebody who's not going to throw. Oh, he must not have a passion for the game. He must be afraid. He must have something to hide. It does not bother me at all. If this guy does not want to throw at the combine, he doesn't need to throw at the combine. Other great, great quarterbacks in the NFL did not throw at the combine. This is not an issue. To me, it's not an issue until I hear something like, I'm not going to throw at all. I'm not going to throw until somebody drafts me. Then you have an issue. He's not saying that. He's saying, I'm not going to throw at the combine. It's fine. Kevin Garnett has resurfaced, which is always a good thing. One of my favorite athletes ever. In fact, one of your favorite athletes ever. And whenever my man comes around, it is story time. And he's got a beautiful story. Also, clones. You want to talk good news, bad news? Good news, bad news. Brendan Fraser is on the radar. Not mine, but yours. If a 50-year-old former so-called hunky actor is on the radar, that means my man is probably chunky. Which means it might be a reason for me to break out the obesity celebratory obesity achievement announcement.
Did I get fat? Are you? Is anybody not fat?
Also, some distressing video out of Clemson. I can't show you the video. I can talk about the video if I have time. Where some bro tried to set a screen on Trevor Lawrence in an intramural basketball game about 80 feet from the basket. Bad idea. All of that still ahead. Denny Hamlin coming up later on this hour. Jay Wright, next hour. As any coach or GM will tell you, the foundation of any great team is great talent. So it's no surprise. Teams dedicate so much time and effort towards finding the right players. The same rule applies when it comes to hiring. You need top talent, but you do not have the endless resources to find it. Luckily, you do have ZipRecruiter. They scout talent for you. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they do not stop there. Their powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invites them to apply to your job. It's so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the very first day. Think about that. That's awesome. With results like that, it's no wonder the ZipRecruiter is the highest-rated hiring site in America. Right now, you can try it for free. Go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. I use the service. It's absolutely amazing. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ROME. ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. A passing bomb. Jeff Passan. Our man Jeff Passan. More good news, bad news. Good news for Jeff Passan. He's a brilliant journo, does great, great work. Got a great opportunity, went to ESPN. Bad news, we may never see him again. He's doing his thing, though. And in terms of a so-called passing bomb, Jeff Passan on Twitter, quote, breaking, free agent star Manny Machado has agreed to a deal with the San Diego Padres. League sources tell ESPN. All right, so my gut, my snap reaction is that is awesome news for San Diego. I love that move. I love the Padres stepping up, taking the big swing. I love that for San Diego. I mean, you got a question or two about Machado and some of the things he says, some of the things he does, but we are talking about a gold glover who you can pencil in for 30-plus bombs every single year, a guy who can play short, a guy who can play third, a guy who's going to move the needle. Hell, most of all, I'm glad somebody just pulled the trigger. I'm glad finally this guy ended up somewhere, either here or Bryce Harper. But I love that he ends up in San Diego. I love that move. That is a big brass swing by the Padres. Love it. Love it. They've got a young squad. But keep in mind, you know, this whole notion of, yeah, well, we're building a young team around. You're building the young team around a young guy. mid-20s, superstar, big name. I love it. They're not messing around now, the Padres. They are not playing around. That is a big swing. I love it. San Diego, reaction! I want to hear from Pacific Beach, Ocean Beach, Mira Mesa, Poway, hell, all the way to Tijuana. Listening on 97.3 The Fan. Listen, they could have sat back and said, listen, we've got a really good farm system. We're going to build this thing out through our farm system. We're going to be patient. It's coming together. We're working our plan. But they're being aggressive. They're going at it. Couldn't be more happy about that signing for San Diego and the Padres. That's why I'm saying, Cam Pendleton, OB, Spring Valley, Lemon Grove, Rancho Penasquitos. Have you been this excited about the Padres since Steve Garvey was there doing what he does, pumping them out of the yard? Love it. Jeff Passan with that. Dear Jim, we're all loving this Antonio Brown Open, but when are you going to get to your Gorge of the Jungle take? Mike in the Bay. Hopefully I won't have to. Hopefully there's enough going on right now that you'll stop sending me those takes. Hey, Rome. Mr. Big Chest. Yes, yeah, sorry, AB. That one's taken. Yours? Marcus Hamgino.
Mr. Big Chest.
Aaron in Omaha. Warman Gino getting an enhanceable man's ear to make sure his chest is bigger than Antonio's. What, you mean like a sport bra? All right, so back to the Padres. I am looking legitimately for Padre fans. Are you pumped up by that? Big swing. You heard all the other teams. I thought that Philadelphia was going to get Machado and Bryce Harper and Mike Trout. Wells in the 360 tweets. You're right, Jim. That was the most jacked up sentence ever. Signed OJ's jury.
Tell him I ain't doing
Try and keep up, man.
On guarantees.
Try to keep up. Let's go to the phones quickly. I want to give you the second part of Antonio Brown as well. He did meet with Art Rooney and tweeted out a picture and a caption. I wonder if Art Rooney sat down from across the table from Antonio Brown and said, Antonio, I'm so glad we could finally meet face to face. And if Antonio said, excuse me, Mr. Rooney, please refer to me as Mr. Big Chest. I wonder if Drew Rosenhaus, when he showed up at that meeting, said, Mr. Rooney, my client, Mr. Big Chest, would prefer a trade. Let's quickly go to San Diego. I said I want reaction from San Diego. We get reaction. Pete in San Diego. Yo, Pete, what's up? How are you?
Thanks for the vine. First time, long time. I hate it. I think they've just gone from a perennial cellar dweller with a lower payroll to a perennial cellar dweller with a higher payroll. And they picked up a guy that will Cadillac on the bases, start fights because he was embarrassed when he slipped getting tagged on the bases, and is just has a horrible attitude and is more concerned about his personal stats than actually contributing towards being a champion.
Listen, so, I hear you. I appreciate that phone call a lot. If, in fact, it went from a perennial basement dweller with a low payroll to a perennial basement dweller with a high payroll and a superstar with a bad attitude, then that's a bad signing. But I don't think that's how that's going to go. As I said myself, I don't like everything this guy's done. I don't like everything this guy's said. In no way can I condone this guy going out there and saying, hey, man, I'm not Johnny Hustle. I'm not about the fake hustle. I mean, I'm not trying to justify that. I'm not trying to rationalize that. That was a bad, bad, bad look and a bad thing to say. And in no way would I condone that. He apologized for it. He should have never said it. But I'm talking about an extremely productive guy that obviously wants to be there, or he better. And I love that signing. 4 straight years of 33 or more home runs. He is a gold glover. He can play short. He can play third. He's entering the prime of his career. And they just took down one of the biggest names on the market. They've got a great farm system. They're working their plan. And as I mentioned, they're not just sitting back saying, we've got a plan. We've got a great farm system. We're going to be patient, but we're not going to take that big swing. They're not telling their fans, we're not in it to win it. They just took an enormous swing. And I love the message that it sends to their fans, to the clubhouse, and to Major League Baseball. Now, Manny, show up and do your job. When we come back, Denny Hamlin joins us. Jay Wright, top of the hour. Second hour, open after that. And Dan Wojcicki will join us in hour number 3. Padre fans. First Padre fan through said, man, I hate that move. He said, I hate that move because I hate that guy. I love that move. I love that move. Big, big swing. Jeff Passan had that. 4-time All-Star, 2-time Gold Glove winner at third base. When we come back, Denny...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Ken Rosenthal reporting. 10 years, 300 mil for Manny Machado. 30 mil a year to live and work in San Diego. That's a good life. It's the best life. Padre fans, your thoughts on that? As promised, we're joined right now by the driver of the number 11 FedEx Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. He is now a 2-time winner of the Daytona 500. He won Sunday's Daytona 500 in a 2-lap overtime shootout. The 12th driver all time to win multiple Daytona 500s. 32 career Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series wins. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series returns to action this Sunday with the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 from the Atlanta Motor Speedway. That's 2 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Denny Hamlin is my guest. Denny, it's good to have you on the show. Congrats. How are you?
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, Jim.
You know, it's been a little less than 48 hours since you won your second Daytona 500, and when you were interviewed right after that race, you mentioned you might be a bit hungover on Monday. So, what was that bender like? How are you feeling right now? And what have the 2 days been like?
I actually took it easy this time. This is my second time around, so I kind of learned my lesson that media day is not too fun hungover. So I took it easy, you know, if you're in New York right now. But I had a lot of fun. Obviously, I got a couple kids, and, you know, they took the team out, and we had some dinner and a few drinks here and there. But it was really a good time and enjoyed the whole weekend.
We're talking to Denny Hamlin. All right, so you get your second one. Winning one Daytona 500 is amazing, but winning two moves you into a really elite group, a very select category. How much more special is the second one because of what it means in the terms of the history of the sport?
Well, it puts you definitely, like you said, in a very elite group, and there's been a lot of great ones that's won just one, and there's been some really Hall of Fame drivers that's never won any. So for me personally, this, you know, puts me in a group where, you know, I feel like I personally don't belong, you know, just some names that are extremely high regarded in our sport. But, you know, it just comes, you know, it's just hard work that we've put in to, you know, get to this point where, you know, we've got two Daytona 500 championships.
We're talking to Denny Hamlin, a multiple Daytona 500 champ. Now, there were a number of wrecks and 5 late cautions. At that point, you and teammate Kyle Busch seemed to be alternating, taking the lead on the restarts. So what's going through your head near the end of the race, and how are you able to maintain that calm and that poise and composure with all that chaos going on?
Well, you know, I tried my best to put myself as far forward as I could in the race. You know, I thought that if I could put myself in the top 5, it would be a good position to kind of miss the big wreck that I knew inevitably was going to come. And it did, and luckily we were just a couple spots in front of it. But certainly, I mean, the teamwork was working well throughout the entire race. But in the end, you've got to win for yourself. And you know, we had a deal inside 10 to go to, you know, work together, and then after that, race it out. We raced it out and we kind of got the best of it there.
We're talking to Denny Hamlin. So you had that deal. You and Busch had a deal that you could take the outside and then go from there. You said, quote, when he gave me that top, I literally was doing a little cheer in my mind. So at that point, did you know you were going to win?
I knew that it increased my odds. You know, I'd been in that position before. Really, the Daytona 500 last year, where I was leading and chose the inside line on the final restart, and that was the wrong line. I lost the race because of it. So for me personally, I knew that once we were given the top, this is likely going to be the winning move for us.
Now, Danny, like you said, you've been through this before, so you know it's kind of old hat, but there are so many different ways to celebrate a huge win like that. But you, Joe Gibbs, and the team hit up a Steak and Shake with the trophy. Man, what did it feel like to walk into a Steak and Shake and see that Daytona 500 trophy sitting right there on the table?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a tradition. Joe started in 1993 when he won his first Daytona 500. He said, you know, he couldn't find victory lane. He had the trophy. And he said he couldn't find it, so he said, you know, I'm just leaving. I'm going to go get dinner. And he took the trophy with him to Steak and Shake right up the road about a half a mile from the racetrack. So when we won it in 2016, he actually did the same thing. Of course, he had to do a little media now that he didn't have to do then. But, yeah, it was fun that we got to do that again this year. So this is the third time this has happened with Joe. But, you know, for him to deem this his biggest victory ever in any sport he's ever competed in, yeah, this is a guy that's won Super Bowls and is a Hall of Famer. So this is it definitely meant a lot to me.
Danny, let me keep you on that point because I want to reiterate what you just said. Joe Gibbs said exactly that. Joe Gibbs called your win Sunday, quote, the most emotional and biggest win I've ever had in my life in anything. It was the most important night in my occupational life. That is an astonishing thing for somebody like that to say. So what did it mean to you to be able to give that moment to him and share it with him?
It means so much because, you know, essentially I'm driving his son's car that passed away last month. It's his car, his number. JD is the guy that kind of found me and signed me to Joe Gibbs Racing 14 years ago. So when we lost him, it was a very, very tough time for all of us involved and really for Joe personally. So, you know, he said that, you know, JD probably had a hand in that finish of the race. To have all his cars 1, 2, 3 was amazing. But, you know, luckily for us to have JD's personal car up there winning the race, you know, I'm sure that played a factor in him saying, yeah, this is the biggest win ever.
Denny Hamlin's my guest. He joins us for a few more moments. You're talking about the passing of J.D. Gibbs. You and I have talked about him in the past, and you just mentioned it once again, what he meant to your career and to your life. For those who did not know him, what was J.D. like as a person and a friend?
Well, he was such a great person. He obviously was a man that was, you know, heavily involved in his faith, and you know, he liked to spread the word about that. And you know, kind of lives through, you know, JDGibbsLegacy.com. You can kind of see JD's story and his influence that he's had on people in racing and outside of racing. And I know Joe was heartbroken when he lost his son, but, you know, certainly, you know, we wanted to carry the torch for him and make him proud. And obviously, you know, the win was so special to me for that specific reason.
Denny Hamlin just won his second Daytona 500. Now, last year, Denny, was kind of a challenging year for you as a driver in the sense that you went winless for the first time. You were close, but you were winless. What was it like for you on a personal level to grind through a year like that?
Yeah, I mean, it stinks. I mean, I'd won for 13 straight years or 12 straight years of my career in the Cup Series, and to have a season where you don't win, I mean, for a lot of drivers, it's common. You know, some of the greatest drivers in history has had winless seasons, but I just wasn't used to it. It's something that I hadn't had to go through, and it was a very tough off season. But now to come in the following year and win the very first race of the year, our obviously biggest race of our sport, it means a lot, and it allows us to kind of refocus, recharge, to get ready to make a championship run.
You know, Danny, I know you'll talk about your team, so let me ask you about your crew chief before you go. Chris Gabehart, he was interviewed on the broadcast late in the race. He seemed so calm, like the work had already been done, so it's just a matter of him sitting back and seeing what happens. It's his first year as your crew chief in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. How would you describe the chemistry the two of you have?
It's great. I mean, he's obviously, it's going to take some time for us to kind of get used to each other and how each other operate, you know, how he runs his team, how I drive as a driver. There's going to be rough patches here and there, but you know, to start off winning the Daytona 500 obviously is a good omen that hopes that keeps going through the season. But he's such a smart guy. We put him in that position for a reason, and hopefully it fruits some success here shortly.
Last thing, you've got a great presence on Instagram, but I've got to be honest, there might not be a cooler photo on Instagram than the one you posted earlier in the month with a wall of stacked Jordan boxes for you and your team. what kicks were in the boxes, and then how good is it to have that kind of relationship with Jordan and get that kind of love from them?
Yeah, it's a good one. Knowing Michael Jordan is definitely a great perk to have, and I've been with the Jordan brand now for almost 10 years, and it's just been a great relationship. You know, Michael and myself met at a Hornets game, like I say, about 10 years ago, and struck up a conversation, and, you know, he asked me about a race that was happening, you know, 2 weeks ago, and I said, wait, you watch NASCAR racing? And he's like, buddy, my dad used to take me to races when I was a kid, and I just latched onto it ever since then. So, you know, a little known fact that people don't know about Michael is he's an avid race fan. So we hooked up and linked up an agreement, and he does my shoes and suit and all that stuff. So to be the only Jordan brand guy out there is cool. And not only that, like you said, I can hook up my team guys with some great trainer shoes.
Man, nothing wrong with that. A two-time winner of the Daytona 500. He is the driver of the number 11 FedEx Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. Danny, I know you're doing some media, so thanks for making time for us. Congrats on the win, and really good to have you back.
Yeah, Jim. Thank you, man.
Good talking to you, Danny, always. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series does return to action Sunday. The Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 from Atlanta Motor Speedway is 2 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And that's two for Denny Hamlin.
It's two for me.
Alvin, do I even need to do it? Do I need to even drop that disclaimer about how awesome NASCAR is to work with and how almost every single driver in that business shows up on time, focused, is present, accessible, fan-friendly, and alert?
Good guy.
Top performer.
They know what they're doing.
Respects the fans.
There's no better league to deal with than NASCAR.
Gives back, appreciates the sport, has time for the fans.
And NASCAR has won me over.
I like it. I get it.
They call on time. They do good interviews. They have good attitudes. It's big. It's not going away.
Good interviews, shows up on time.
Every one of those guys is like that.
They won me over. I will say for the record once again, I've done a 180.
He's not Tony Stewart. Rusty Wallace is my favorite guest.
And if it's not Rusty Wallace, it's Clint Bowyer and his bus driver, Curtis.
I did not break the pace car.
Carl Edwards, class act,
Trevor Bayne.
The best energy.
And I love Jeff Gordon.
I can't pick favorites, but Jimmy Johnson's my favorite.
And Brad Keselowski is right there.
And that's two for Denny Hamlin.
Alvy. It's two for me.
Good job, Alvy. It's kind of ridiculous at this point that I have to rationalize or double back and say, you know, there was a day when it was so long ago that even I have trouble remembering how I used to clown NASCAR. And they've been so amazing to work with for so many years. Like, did I really do that? Yeah, I did. I got to own that. And believe me, it was funny. You know what's even funnier? That they're unbelievable to work with. Really quickly, on Manny Machado, I said, San Diego, do you like that or not? The first guy through said, I hate it. I hate it because I hate the guy. And went on about how this guy's got the worst attitude ever. Hey, look, like I said, it was pretty regrettable for this guy to say, hey, look, I'm not Johnny Hustle. Let me ask you something. Do you want a bunch of guys with amazing attitudes that come together to win 66 games? Because that's what you have right now, San Diego. Yeah, I'd love a bunch of guys with really good attitudes that can get us to 70 wins. I don't want a great baseball team. I want a great clubhouse with a bunch of good guys that win 70 games, that provide us payroll flexibility, that have good attitudes. Or a clubhouse full of guys with good attitudes and you got a real good plan and a guy who on certain days has a questionable attitude but is one of the best in the business. And you just committed $300 million to him, not including a reported opt-out. How do you not love that deal if you're a Padre fan? Let's go to Jeff in San Diego. Good to have you, Jeff. How are you?
Good, Jim. Good morning. Hey, long time, third or fourth time. Hey, Peter Seidler and Ron Fowler, the owner of the Padres. Epic move right here. Very, very epic move. Way to step your game up. I know you've been talking that 2020, 2021 is going to be the year. But I'm ready for you guys to start now. With our up-and-coming pitching staff, this is nothing but good bringing Manny here. It's going to make Hosmer a better player. It's going to make Myers a better player. It's going to make Hedges a better player. All these guys I just mentioned are very good guys. They are good. Whether Manny's good or bad in the clubhouse, blah, 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 he puts up numbers.
Jump in there, Jeff. Nice job. Thanks very much. He loves it. He's not worried about his attitude. Neither am I. I love that signing. Jay Wright, Villanova head basketball coach, joins me when we come back. Hour number two, straight ahead.